Timber, as you know, the mayor went on, is in a time of difficulty. Extraordinary measures are unnecessary. This is a time when citizens should be most loyal, most law-abiding, for the good of all.
Lina said nothing. She watched how the flesh under the mayor's chin bulged in and out as he spoke, and then she turned her eyes from this unpleasant sight and looked carefully around the room. She was thinking now, calculating, but not about what the mayor was saying.
The duties of a mayor, said the mayor, are complex, cannot be understood by regular citizens, particularly children. That is why,
he went on, leaning slightly forward so that his stomach pushed farther out along his lap,
certain things must remain hidden from the public. The public would not understand. The public must have faith,
said the mayor, once again holding up his hand, this time with a finger pointing to the ceiling.
That all is being done for their benefit, for their own good.
Hogwash, said Lina.
The mayor jerked backward. His eyebrows came down over his eyes, making them into dark slits.
What?
He said.
Surely I heard you incorrectly.
I said hogwash, said Lina. It means...
Do not presume to tell me what it means,
the mayor cried.
Impudence will make things worse for you.
He was breathing heavily, and his words came out with spaces between them.
A misguided child, such as yourself, requires a forceful lesson.
His short fingers gripped the arms of the chair.
Perhaps,
he said,
your curiosity has led you to wonder about the prison room. What could it be like, eh? Dark, cold, uncomfortable.
He made the smile that Lina remembered from assignment day. His lips pulled away from his small teeth, his gray cheeks folded.
You will have a chance to find out. You will become closely acquainted with the prison room. The guards will escort you there. Your accomplice, another known troublemaker, will join you as soon as he is located.
The mayor turned to look for the bell. This was the moment when Lina had planned to make a dash for freedom. She thought she had a slim chance to succeed if she moved fast enough. But something happened in that instant that gave her a head start. The lights went out. There was no flicker this time, just sudden, complete darkness. It was fortunate that Lina had already planned her move and knew exactly which way to go. She leapt up, knocking over her chair. With her arm, she made a wide swipe and knocked over the table next to the chair as well. The furniture thumping to the floor, the teapot shattering, and the mayor's enraged shouts made a clamor that covered the sound of her footsteps as she dashed to the stairway door. Was it unlocked? She reached for the knob. Grunts and squeaks told her that the mayor was struggling to rise from his chair. She turned the knob and pulled, and the door sprang open. She closed the door behind her and leapt upward two steps at a time. Even in the pitch dark, she could climb stairs. In the room, the bell clanged and clanged and the mayor bellowed. When she got to the first landing, she heard the guards shouting. There was a crash. Someone must have fallen over the toppled chair or table.
Where is she?
Someone yelled.
Must have run out the door.
Did they know which door? She didn't hear footsteps behind her. If she could make it to the roof, and if from the roof she could jump to the roof of the prison room and from there to the street, then maybe she could escape. Her lungs were on fire now. Her breath was burning her throat, but she climbed without stopping, and when she came to the top, she burst through the door to the roof and ran out. and that was when the lights came back on. It was as if the blackout had been arranged especially for her.
I am so lucky, she thought. So extremely lucky.
Ahead of her was the clock tower. She went around to the other side of it. No dancing on the roof this time. A low wall ran along the edge of the building. Lina approached it cautiously and peered out over the swarm of people assembling in Harkin Square. Directly below her was the entrance of the gathering hall, and as she watched, two guards dashed out the door and down the steps. Good, they had gone the wrong way. They must think she'd escaped into the crowd. For the moment, she was safe. The clock in the tower began to chime. Three great booms rang out. It was time for the singing to begin. Lina gazed down at the people of Ember, gathered to sing their songs. They stood so close together that she could see only their faces, which were lifted up toward the sky, with the hard, bright lights shining down on them. They were silent, waiting for the songmaster to appear on the gathering hall steps. There was a strange hush, as if the city were holding its breath. Of the whole Ember year, Lina thought, this hush before the singing was one of the most exciting moments. She remembered other years, when she had stood with her parents, too short to see the songmaster's signal, too short to see anything but people's backs and legs, and waited for the first note to thunder out. She felt her heart move at that moment, every year. The sound would rise in waves around her like water, almost as if it could lift her off the ground. Now suddenly the moment came again. From hundreds of voices rose the first notes of the song of the city, deep and strong. She felt as she had all the years before, a quivering inside, as though a string under her ribs had been plucked, and a rush of joy and sadness mixed together. The deep, rumbling chords of the song filled Harkin Square. Lina felt that she might step off the edge of the building and walk across the air. It seemed so solid with sound.